AI can be sexist and racist. Nature, July 2018.
San Francisco becomes first city in US to ban facial recognition software. Washington Post, May 14, 2019.
Self-driving car kills pedestrian in Arizona. New York Times, 19th of March, 2018.
Artificial intelligence makes bad medicine even worse. Wired, October 1, 2020.
Time and again, artificial intelligence makes mistakes. Some are amusing, many are annoying, some are fatal. So, it seems, AI is not a reliable partner.
AI and us.
KI.
AI and us.
Und wir.
KI und wir.
What artificial intelligence
means for our lives.
Was künstliche Intelligenz
means for our lives.
Was künstliche Intelligenz für unser Leben bedeutet.
An Alexander von Humboldt Foundation Science Podcast.
Science Podcast.
Ein Wissenschaftspodcast
der Alexander von Humboldt Stiftung.
Episode 6. Can we rely on AI?
How can you tell that a machine is intelligent?
A methodology that is used for trying to tell if a system is intelligent in itself. That's the Turing test.
Back in 1950, computer pioneer Alan Turing made a suggestion for testing whether a computer could think like a human being.
Hello, how are you?
Hello, how are you?
Well, you can talk to it. You type, and then on the other side, you either have a machine or you have a real person.
I'm fine, but what about you?
I really can't say anything for certain. To be honest, I'm a bit fussy about such things.
You have a machine on the other side, or a human being, you don't know, and you just communicate with this machine or human being.
What can you talk about?
I can talk about nothing at all, except in very wet weather.
And in the end you have to tell, was this a machine you were talking to, or actually a real human?
If you're not able to distinguish between these two, then it means that the machine has reached the level of human intelligence.
Well, it's dry today, so do we have to remain silent?
I rather doubt if we do. If you want to find out for sure, you could always try hiring a detective.
Contests like the Turing test really do take place on a regular basis. So far, no chatbot has actually been able to convince the panelists that it was human.
What city do you live in?
What city? That's rather a tricky question. The trouble is, one city seems to be much like another.
Not really.
But Turing test is very important and is important to understand that the ability to use language is really the core of intelligence. And in particular, to use language in the way of dialogue.
That's the really interesting part. How does this understanding on that very human level really work? And this understanding is a prerequisite for real intelligence, social intelligence, emotional intelligence.
But not every artificial intelligence can talk like Christian Becker Asano's robots or Milica Gacic's dialogue systems. Not every artificial intelligence needs to be able to hold a lively conversation with us.
Of course, AI in an application domain such as medicine also has to go a lot of testing, a lot of regulatory approvals.
Danielle Ruckert, Alexander von Humboldt Professor for Artificial Intelligence in Healthcare and Medicine at TUM Munich, also develops AI that needs testing. When it scans x-rays for tumors, it must be just as accurate as a doctor. How does an AI become a qualified physician?
for AI algorithms, the situation is probably very different to what we do when we train a new generation of doctors, but it's very similar to what we actually know how to do very well, for example, how to do clinical trials.
Just as the effectiveness and safety of drugs or vaccines can be investigated during clinical trials, the same thing can be done using algorithms.
For example, you can run a clinical trial where you diagnose patients with the help of an AI algorithm as well as without the AI algorithm, and you can then compare how many times the AI algorithm has made a mistake or how many times actually the AI algorithm has made the right choice.
But how do you know whether it's the AI that's right or the human? If the AI is better than the human, then its diagnosis will inevitably sometimes diverge from the doctor's.
For example, if we look at a case where we would like to use AI to diagnose a particular form of cancer, for example, breast cancer, we can not only compare the performance of the AI algorithm with that of an expert, but we can also wait for 2 years and look at those patients which have developed cancer and those who have not developed cancer and compare the performance of the AI algorithm with respect to this outcome measure, i.e. whether the patient developed cancer or not, because that's much more objective than comparing it to the performance of a human, which might actually be imperfect as well.
This sounds logical and plausible, but Danielle Ruckert identifies some major problems. For instance, AI is supposed to keep developing and learn from its mistakes.
And that leads to a field which is called continual learning, where you might then, for example, immediately teach the AI system, here you've made a mistake, but please update your model to not make that mistake again. So we can have an AI algorithm which continuously learns as it also gets things wrong. Now, this is not entirely unproblematic because if we constantly change that algorithm, then of course we can't be entirely sure that we have not broken something which was working before.
So AI would not simply pass an exam like a medical student and then be licensed to practice for life. Rather, it is supposed to improve, which means that after learning every minor new thing, it would have to take the entire examination again. Another difficulty occurs when artificial intelligence really outstrips humans. For instance, if it is supposed to predict who will probably get ill in the future, it will be hard to develop an AI prognosis of this kind, but to test it is yet another challenge.
It becomes very difficult to evaluate or validate these AI approaches. If I, for example, make the prediction that you will develop a certain disease in 5 years down the line, you might, for example, take action as a result of that, change your lifestyle or do something else, but perhaps that prediction was wrong in the first place. So we have to be very careful that we evaluate these approaches in an area such as medicine very, very carefully.
Milica Gacic is faced with very similar challenges in her field. Her dialogue systems, for example, are supposed to be used in psychotherapy, but it's impossible to predict how conversations will evolve and whether AI will always respond to clients appropriately.
This is what makes testing very, very difficult. So extensive testing is needed. So what we are doing in this respect, what we build are so-called simulated users. So these are machines that try to imitate how users speak and what they say. And then with those, we try to create as many as possible of these extreme situations and cover the space of possible dialogues as much as possible.
This is more or less the way that autonomous vehicles are prepared for the reality of road traffic. Initially, the algorithms drive through artificial, computer-generated towns and learn how to deal with the various situations they encounter there. They train using a driving simulator before they are let out on the road. What they have to prove before they are given a license is still a matter for negotiation. In the same way, regulations have to be agreed upon for employing AI in medicine.
Regulation for commercial companies operating in the healthcare space has been around for very, very long periods of time, not only for in the space of pharma industry, but for example, people who produce CT scanners, MR scanners, people who produce implants, and all of these things have been regulated for many years. And overall, this regulation works very well because that regulation not only involves a discussion between people in an administration and industry, but also a discussion with patient groups and users of the technology. So I think you need all of them to sit around the table and have a open and public debate about the benefits and downsides of particular solutions with AI. And I think then I'm actually quite confident that we will be able to use AI in a very responsible fashion in healthcare.
Are you an academic?
Most probably I'm not. I'm just putting on an act.
Artificial intelligence that claims to be intelligent must prove its mettle.
What are you, then?
Well, am I birds? Am I spaceships? Or am I just horseflies? I've got a completely open mind about it.
We will be investigating just how hard it can be for AI to keep pace with human intelligence in the next episode. Can AI be like us?
How can your computational system have feelings? I mean, you don't need your calculator to calculate your feelings, I'm pretty sure, right? So there's something else that's happening, maybe not calculation.
This was episode 6 of AI and Us. The experts in this episode were Christian Becker-Asano, Professor for Artificial Intelligence at the Hochschule der Medien in Stuttgart. Milica Gacic, Sofia Kovaleskaya Award winner and Professor of Dialogue Systems and Machine Learning at University Düsseldorf. And Daniel Ruckert, Alexander von Humboldt Professor for Artificial Intelligence in Healthcare and Medicine at TUM Munich.